Written in was born again. No one can blot it out, it's still forevermore. It's in that book of life, kept by the Lord. But for every deed I do, for every word I say, there is a record kept until the judgment day. My name will not be lost, misplaced or overlooked, for it's kept safely in God's record book. For there's a record book, my name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. No one can blot it out, it's still forevermore. It's in that book of life, kept by the Lord.
Well, it's good to be here. Good to see you. We are truly blessed. I got to get off my soapbox or we'll not get through tonight. One of the soapboxes I got to get on, plastic, it's called a fake flower. You know them fake ones, you know, that you can put out at the cemetery and they'll last every bit until the sun gets hot. And you put them out there, looks really pretty. You can put them out this time of year and they look real good. Just don't go by and see them very long because what it is, it's got an oil base to it and that oil evaporates and whatever else and it fades out and it fades. That looks terrible. But it lasts a whole lot longer than the regular flowers. Regular flowers, one night of this kind of weather, they're gone. But that song we sung said that the real ones are not going to fade. Now that ain't in the scripture. I ain't found that in the Bible nowhere. But on the other hand, have you ever known of God doing something halfway? See, there's not going to be any fake flowers in heaven. Not. If he's spending all the time preparing a place for us, there ain't no fake up there. I don't care. We get a lot of fake stuff, but there ain't no fake up there. Now, and there's not even going to be any lost up there. And there's not going to be any criticism. You can't criticize what's not real. And there ain't a thing that God puts in your heart that ain't real. Them roses may never fade, but the light that God has put within us never fades. Turn your Bible, because we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. The book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. Anybody that studies their Bible knows the 33rd chapter. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know 33rd. Once you see it, you're going to remember it. You're going to remember it. I want to read more than I've ever read in my life. No, I'm kidding. I want to read some things tonight. I'll not hold you long. I promise you, I won't hold you long. I'll do my best. And I want you to listen tonight. There's been a couple of thoughts that come across my heart that I just can't get rid of. The book of Ezekiel is a warning chapter. Let me read it and we'll go on. The word, again, the word of the Lord in verse 1 came unto me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. And before we go any further, we take this application, what we're fixing to read, and we put it in motion for us. That's common. That's when we read this, we're going to say, well, that's the norm. That's the norm for every person in this room that's been born again. Now, and you say, well, this watchman's the preacher. This watchman ain't the preacher. If you get your little eyeballs and your spectacles on, this watchman ain't the preacher. And yet we call it the preacher, we call it the preacher. But we know there's more to it than the preacher. But yet, this says that we're going to set somebody and we're going to put him in a certain spot. And if he's, verse 3, when he see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. We like to say, man, that's the preacher's job right there. We do. Well, because when he sees that sword coming, that's what his job's supposed to do. He's supposed to warn. He's supposed to let them know. Whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Now, you see how we, and there's nothing wrong with what we've said. I want you to get your mind, though, and I want you to think about what we do about warning lost people. What we do about warning lost people, we will tell them about the Lord. We will tell them the consequences of not knowing the Lord in their heart. We will tell them that hell will be their home and that's going to last forever. We're trying our best to persuade them that this was what was good for my life and it will be good for your life. But you cannot make a person get saved. You can't. You can't entice. You can't persuade. You can't give them a little gift on the side and say it will be beneficial for you if you get saved. The only way they get saved is through that wooing of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convict them of their sins, and therefore they get saved apart from anything that the preacher might say. All the preacher is a warner. He just tells folks. Let's read. I've got a lot I want to read, and we'll get to a reason in a minute. Whosoever hears the sound, verse 4, whoever hears the sound of the trumpet, take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood will be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and he took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall be delivered his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That has been, and that always will be, what we, as God's people, should do to a lost and dying world. Now, in my Bible, you turn your page. In yours, I don't know. I got a Thompson. But let's read down just a little bit further down. I want to begin now in verses 11. Still talking about the same things, those earlier 10 verses. Now verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Let me read that one more time. Say unto them. Now, this is, we're going to call it the watchman, but this is a warning to everybody that hears the sound. Say unto them, that would be me saying unto you, and you saying unto somebody else, especially to those that are lost without God. You see, the message of the gospel we as saved folks, if you've been born again, you don't mind hearing a message of salvation to the lost world. You don't mind that because at one point we was all lost without God. And that message to the lost world, sometimes you need to hear it again, what condition you was in and what God had done for you and how God has changed you and God wants to change them. Now watch this. He says in verses 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? O house of Israel, may we pray. Father, we thank you for the word. I pray you help us. God, I pray you just tug on our heart. Oh God, how we need you to revive us in a spirit within ourselves. God, that many of our loved ones, many of our friends are going to die and they're going to split hell wide open. God, we just pray you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stop with me just a moment and think about the time that in the book of Genesis, about 19th chapter, in that particular area, Abraham is getting a visit from angels, but getting a visit, and God is going to tell him, among other things, he's going to tell him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the conversation, these angels are going down that direction. If you read the words, you'll find, shall we hold this thing back from Abraham, what we're fixing to do? Shall we keep it from him? You see, not everything that God does to individuals, and I want you to hear this, he don't have to tell the preacher. He don't have to tell you as a family member. God doesn't have to reveal unto us what's going to happen. Because in reality, well, number one, if we're born in this world, we're going to die in this world. God gives us a warning to be saved. If we don't get saved, we're going to die lost. And lost, we're going to die and go to hell. That's pretty simple. But what was going to transpire in that conversation, God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's the verse that we read. Now listen, when those angels are going to go down, don't you know that God already knew what he was going to do? God's mind was made up. In fact, the wickedness, if you read the chapter, it makes a lot of sense. But the wickedness would be like ascending up to heaven. In other words, when sin runs rampant, when it goes more and more and more, the Holy Spirit is quenched. Me and you, if sin's in our life, the Holy Spirit is quenched. We must live to let the Holy Spirit flourish in our life. We must have a testimony. We must have a witness for God. There's so many things that if we will do that, the Holy Spirit will flourish. But if we don't, we suppress it. We push it down. Well, don't you think Abraham would have been a good example of how that God can lead a person, direct a person, and let God just bless that person's life? He sure was. But Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have Abraham. It'd be nice, if we'd have had a good old Abraham there. Didn't have an Abraham. Had a Lot. And when Lot was there, I don't necessarily think he was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah as an evangelistic area, was he? Think about what our job in this world. We live in a small town. We don't have a metropolitan. I mean, when we lived in Nashville, there's more people than there was mosquitoes. And I don't believe that's possible, but it is. There's just people everywhere. But the truth of it is, I didn't like all them folks. I didn't know them, but I didn't like them. You know why I didn't like? They were everywhere. Man, I like smaller towns. I like to know some, I like to be nosy and know folks. Now, you know that's not true. But the truth of it is, we generally like smaller towns. We seem to want to care for others. Big cities, they don't do that. Well, let's go to what the death happens to big cities as well as small cities. When it happens in the big city, it's got like a number. When it happens in a small city, there's a chance you might know somebody along the way. Angel comes, they tell what's fixing to happen, and Abraham in his mind, his evangelistic mind, his mind that says, what can we do for the city to survive? Now you remember, he's talking to these men, these angels. And these angels, we're negotiating with God. And we're going to negotiate with God. Now, God, if there's so many righteous, would you spare the city? Don't we know this well? Don't we know how we... But it wasn't to save Lot. It was to save the city. In our mind, the bigger picture is we don't want to see one person go to hell in our mind. In our actions is what Abraham did. If we can find 50, 40, 30, if we can find 10 righteous in the city, will you spare the city? Now that was God knowing what was going on. God could have shut off Abraham and said, Abraham, there's no sense in talking about it. I'm going to destroy the city. But you know what God did? God used what Abraham was thinking and let Abraham speak from his heart of what his desire was for a wicked city. Now that wicked city wasn't to get worse. That wicked city, he knew what could happen if the righteous prevail. The devil does a wonderful job in deceiving folks. He does it all the time. In my younger days, we would call them, when life was slower, church meant more to folks because they didn't have all the other opportunities. And it was a thing to do. Revival meetings and all kind of going to church, that was a thing to do. Not just as a thing, but a thing that changed lives. Now let's get back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel is given the word to give this word to the watchman. And the watchman, his job that was inspired, given from God, kind of like giving you your marching orders, and this job is to do warnings. Now, that job, if you're doing it correctly, you're warning them when trouble is coming. You're not, the enemy's going to come. It's going to, don't you think Sodom and Gomorrah was just that rotating thing? Well, it's going to get better, it's going to get better. And when did it get better? Abraham in his mind thinking, well, you know, if I get 50, 40, 30, 20. Well, Lord, if I just get her down, if there's just maybe there's just a few shy. Maybe, well, friend, when you get it down to so low, you think, Abraham, whenever he got through negotiating with God, he walked away from that negotiation feeling good. I really believe that. I really believe because in his heart, it was working. It just didn't work in others. It's kind of like there's a lot of lost folks that hear the word of God and it goes in one ear and out the other. But that don't make it any less effective. The watchman is looking. He said, here it is. But add all of those verses. Here's what you're supposed to. If you don't do it, blood will be required. It gives all those things. Now, when we pick up in verses 11, here's how it says it. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. In the New Testament, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. Came to Jesus, and it would have been everything would have worked out great for the rich young ruler if the Lord would have just given him eternal life. The man did not want, in our term, he didn't want to go to heaven. He just wanted eternal life. In fact, because he had enough of this world's gain, this world's good, he could stay right here in this world. He could live forever in this world and would have been happy. That was his thinking. See, there's a lot of folks that get that mentality. What I want is what's best for me, and I don't want nothing else. The people of this world doing their things of this world right now all across this land, and they're doing what they think is best for them, or they would be somewhere else. If they didn't think they'd ever need God at all, they wouldn't put him in their pocket and pull it out every time they needed it. But friend, you're going to need God whether you realize it or not. Watch. When the rich young ruler heard what Jesus had to say, he didn't beg, plead, bargain, or anything else. Turned and went away. Me and you, look. And we say, what in the world was that man thinking? Jesus comes out with this statement. How hardly that they that have riches are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, friend, I want to tell you, did God know what was going to happen? Could have the Lord changed his tune in talking? It's kind of like this. The message of God, according to the Bible, it won't return void. So when the message is preached or delivered, it is no longer on the preacher to preach the message. It's no longer. It's no longer on the witness. When a person witnessed to a lost person, it is no longer the burden. And we could look at this verse and say, you know, blood won't be required at my hands because I've warned you. But that's not enough. Oh, it justifies. Oh, yeah, I've told you about how you get saved, and this is how you can get saved. But if you don't get saved, it's on you. That's good. But that's not good enough. It's almost like, As a human being, you want to do more. Man, I've been in situations where there's not enough words that I can say to a person that is so troubled. Man, I've been in situations where it's like God can give you something, God can give you words, but it just seems like you want to be able to do more. It just seems like when somebody walks out the door and they're lost, you want to do more. But listen, God is not pleased with the death of the wicked. If it hurts me and you, think what it would do to God. Now, I don't know how much more you think this through, but you can't give anything better than Jesus. You can't. The Old Testament, whenever they did the sacrifices pointing to Jesus in the New Testament, but done everything. But when Jesus came along, there was nothing more. There was nothing more perfect. He was perfect. And friend, whenever you reject the perfect gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, there's nothing more. Not one thing more. How many times you've heard us over the years say this right here? Well, it's going to sing one more verse. There's not in the Bible about saying one more verse in a song to get somebody to give them an invitation, an altar call. We're trying in the human ways because we don't want to accept the death of the wicked. Can I go just a little bit further in this? When verses 11 says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way. Now if I'd have left it and stopped right there, we'd been fine. But watch. To turn from his way and live. Turn from his way and live. It's kind of like if he don't turn from his way, he's going to die. But no, if you turn from his way, there is going to be life. How hardly that they that have riches will enter into the kingdom of heaven is because they're looking only at the life that they want, not the life that they could have. And I'm going to mess this up. I know I am, but just bear with me. A few years ago, we had a presidential election. And if you'll remember that them hanging chads, they call them down there in Florida, and how them votes all went. We were this close of having another president than the one we got. Because the one that we thought we were getting, when they counted all them votes, they figured out that this other one was the true winner and made him president. Now, I'm not about the politics. I just wanted you to hear how close it was. And some of y'all, not me, went, whew, boy, I'm glad it turned out the way it did. Y'all may not have said that, but I did. But anyway. But the truth of it is, it scared me to death. Now, that's just a presidential election. This is far greater problem. We're not talking about something, whew, boy, we avoided that one. We're talking about something that God has done all he can do, and you keep saying no. All he will ever do. There'll never be another addition to this Bible. There'll never be another Jesus. This is the only way. There's not another option. I can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Go all the way back through time. If God would have made an amendment right here in this latter day, 2026, and says, oh, I'm going to change this. Throughout all of time, folks would have said, wait a minute, God, you didn't treat me right. But for every person that has died lost, every person, they cannot look at God and say, you didn't do enough for me. Now, on the hand that me and you like to use out of Ezekiel is, just as long as I don't have blood on my hands, we don't stop and consider the best of the best was given. We just need to be a voice. That's all we got to do. We don't have to present ourselves. We don't have to shed our blood. We don't have to do any more. If a person is not going to believe in the only true way to heaven, friend, you're going to die in your sins and be lost forever. I'll hush with this because I want you to hear this. I love the part of Ezekiel about warning the wicked. I do. I think that's a tremendous job. But I never really took the time to think about how much it hurt Jesus, or excuse me, hurt God the Father, when there on Calvary's cross, the sun quit shining. We just think, well, sun went dark. Friend of mine, when God could not look upon sin, when Jesus Christ became sin for the whole world, friend, if this ain't possible, but who you think God, if God could turn his back on an individual, on me or you or his own son, guess who's going to be on the short end? Me and you, because he loves his son. But because of his son, his love, the identical love is extended down to me and you. There's not one thing that God the Father wouldn't do for his son that God the Father wouldn't do for me and you. When that little scripture that was put in there, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, that sealed the bargain. When the little scripture that said John 3:16, he loved the world at whosoever, that sealed the bargain. Didn't matter what color your skin, what color nationality, if you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. God forgives it all. And friend, gives you life after death. Let's have a song, Brother Greg. I don't know your heart. I know the Lord. I'd love for you to be saved. I'd love for you to know how much God loves you. I'd love for you to see it in your own eyes, the condition of your heart today. And just think about what it would be if you just move over and let God live within inside you. And if you let God live inside you, you'll be a changed creature. Your want-tos will change. The desires of your heart will change. And your outlook on life won't be about this world only. It'll be about that world to come. We don't have long, friend. God's going to call us out one by one by one. But one day, that final call will be called. And I'll be called home. It'll be up to you what you do. But I'll be called home. And when God calls me, the mantle will be switched to somebody else to warn the wicked of their wicked way. May we stand. God's speaking to you. Come to know him in the free pardon of sin.